from your grave.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Last update on the left.
Rolling, rolling, rolling.
What?
Rolling.
When did you do the Henry Lee Lucas episode?
2015, actually. I'm looking right in here. Almost
10 years ago.
Yeah, 9 years, a month from now.
Wow.
9 years.
9 years.
So here we are.
Yeah.
9 years.
Are we ready?
Later.
Are
yes.
we ready? Yeah. Let's start.
9 long years. 9 years. Never get them back. Never getting back, never getting younger. Only getting older. I become a corpse to my own family. Become a corpse to my own friends. Help me. 9 long years podcasting. And you're never going to be the same.
9 long years since we've covered this project.
9 years.
Many years since we actually started this.
Yeah, it's much longer than that.
It's much longer.
Right at my wife and I's first kiss.
Was it the Henry Lee Lucas episode?
Yeah. I actually do remember recording one of the episodes of Henry Lee Lucas after one of our first dates. Mm-hmm. Natalie was staying inside of the living room, and I was doing the episode in the other room.
Oh.
Welcome to Last Update on the Left, ladies and gentlemen. That's the only romantic story you're going to hear in connection to Henry Lee Lucas, one of the most disgusting killers to ever confess to many, many crimes.
He made me horny. He made me horny.
Do you think that he ever got a passionate kiss?
Henry Lee Lucas?
Yeah. From a corpse. I do think the old. That's
how
the
does
only...
that happen? Do you lay it on top of you?
Yeah. Yeah, give it to me. Yeah, now we're tongue. Yeah. Oh, tongue fellow.
I would imagine you'd have to wait until it had been dead long enough for it to really get a bunch of fluids going, and then you flop it on top of you, and the more fluids you get, the more passionate the kiss is.
Yeah. Oh, passion fruit.
Well, welcome to the update of Henry Lee Lucas. And what do we know more of now?
How full of shit he was, back jam full of shit.
Exactly what I was going to say.
I can't believe, I've heard this guy's name a million times. I can't believe this one pisses me off more than any of them.
Yeah, right?
This is so aggravating.
Well,
many people got away with murder.
Yes, yeah. And we'll never get over the fact that he just, it's the sounds of Henry Lee Lucas drinking the milkshakes. In the documentary series, it's a lot.
Killer is what it was called.
Yeah, oh I never want to see a man with a graveyard for a mouth smiling with a mouth full of vanilla milkshake. Because it's just that look of it. He's like, hey, yeah, this is good.
Correction.
Strawberry milk.
That lied about the strawberries that looks like a girl had her menage in a nice white milkshake. Yeah. A nice thick period juice inside of it. Yeah, I got that one too.
Henry Lee Lucas, for those of you who don't know who this guy is, for many, many years, like Henry Lee Lucas, when you talked about like biggest body counts out of all the serial killers throughout the 80s and 90s, it was always Henry Lee Lucas. No one ever top him. Over 100 plus is what people would always say.
So it would go up to 600, some people would say.
Yes.
At some points. But it has come out in recent years, and it was always rumored throughout. Like anytime, I think the book that we used at the time, I can't remember, or the two books we used, one of them is still one of my favorite true crime books ever, but the paperback that we used,
yeah,
the regular supermarket paperback, like those would allude to the possibility that he didn't kill as many as he says that he killed. But, I mean, true crime books, at least back in the 80s and 90s, like they went for the most sensationalist, goriest story that you could possibly tell.
Oh, and we loved them. And honestly, Last Podcast and Left was a direct reaction
to all of this material we had read all over the years about, like, and wanted to, and they had this tone, and all had the same tone. And Henry Lee Lucas is such a great example of it. And just so you guys know, so we'll catch you up real quick, but all of you basically know who Henry Lee Lucas is if you've gotten to this podcast already. He was an American serial killer. He was active in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. They probably, I don't remember when he was arrested.
He was arrested for the first time in 1959.
That was the first time he was arrested.
1960 was the first, he committed his first murder in 1960.
When was he in jail?
He was in jail from 1960 until 1970. Then he was again thrown in jail until about 1976. He claims that his most active times were in the late 70s and the early 80s. Let's go into, let's just give a full refresher.
Dude,
since
yes.
It has been 9 fucking years.
9 years.
Yeah.
I mean, 9 years ago, I went into the studio. 9 years later, I came out.
Married.
Why am I like this? Why does it continue?
So, like, after you and Natalie had sex for the first time,
yeah,
were you like laying there and be like, so, like, there's this guy, Henry Lee Lucas?
No, and yes, probably. That was all of our first conversations. How do you think he got Carolina?
So, but
I've never not been like this.
So I think Carolina, you owe Henry Lee Lucas a thank you.
Hey, Henry Lee Lucas. Hey, thanks for helping me get with my beautiful, beautiful wife. And wherever you are in fucking hell, I hope that you can still, I guess, hear us make love.
Carolina didn't listen to an episode of Last Podcast until we moved in together.
That was just to protect her.
Although we did have that. That is one of the first things that we did bond on was like her extreme conversation that we had about David Parker Wright.
Yeah.
Yeah. About the toy box killer.
Great.
Who it turns out.
It's worse than this. Much worse conversation than this than I had with Natalie.
Yeah. Far worse conversation. Yeah. Yeah.
Because
David
Parker
Wright is one of the worst.
Because this guy's basically just a liar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he did kill 3 people.
3 people.
Yeah.
You know, and it's weird to think, to look at him and be like, not much.
You know, because after 600. Yeah, he expected. You said he was 600. Now it's 3.
So, all right.
Continue to do the rundown, Freddie.
Yeah. So he was born 1936. We talk a lot. Actually, I think Henry Lee Lucas may have been when we coined the term serial killer soup.
Yes.
When we talked about, like, there with serial killers, there are certain factors that come into play that create a serial killer.
Yeah, and having a no-leg sex worker mother that gets dragged around in a cart is one of them.
Yes. No, his father had no legs.
I thought that she was
the one. No, the dad had no legs.
Yeah, the father had no legs. That's right.
Max. I always try to look for my similarities with these people.
But that was right. He was in the cart, and he couldn't beat the mom because he didn't have any legs. Well, so he couldn't get at the mom. So she'd leave him behind in the cart.
Well, no, what she would do is that she was a sex worker and she would bring customers home and she would have sex in front of both her legless husband and her son, Henry Lee Lucas.
Now, was that extra?
Yeah, honestly, unfortunately, I can't complete the act, ma'am, unless your peg-legged husband is in the room.
Yeah, it could be less. I don't know.
I think it's extra to, like, put him out in the back porch.
Oh, yeah, because all you hear is the, you done? You done?
He was beat.
Yeah.
Mercilessly. I mean, grew up in a dirt floor shack in the backwoods of Virginia. And his siblings were farmed out to institutions, relatives, foster homes. Didn't get past 5th grade and famously had an IQ of about 87, which is around, it's the same IQ as, actually, it's a higher IQ
than Forrest Gump.
Than Gary Ridgway.
Oh, yes, yes. Gary Ridgway is by far, which we are going to redo Gary Ridgway.
We are going to redo Gary Ridgway.
But Gary, he was not the brightest bulb in the pack.
Gary Ridgway, the Green River Killer, who provably had around 80 murders.
One of the most prolific serial killers in history.
Yeah, I think only Samuel, at least as far as America goes, like, we don't hold a candle to the South American guy.
No,
American guys have body counts in the hundreds.
But that's because he was killing 6 kids at a time. Doesn't count. Okay, that's like Sammy Sosa. Technically, there should be an asterisk next to a lot of those crimes. You shouldn't be allowed to get them in a group.
Yeah, but Gary Ridgway, I think his IQ was 83, which I think was the same as Forrest Gump.
No, 75.
Yeah, 75, just, Forrest just Gump. 2 points above.
Yeah, 75. Your mother certainly does care about your education.
Actually, that could have been Henry Lee Lucas's mother. mother.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. What a gentlewoman.
Yeah, but his father died of hypothermia in 1951 when he drunkenly fell asleep outside during a snowstorm.
Yeah, it's, you don't want to do that because guess what you don't become? Santa Claus.
At 18, Lucas was sentenced to 4 years in prison. Started off as a burglar, was proved to have committed a dozen burglaries around Richmond, Virginia. Escaped in 1957 because it was a lot easier to escape prison in 1957 than it is today.
Oh, I bet, especially if it wasn't like, you're not in Attica or Alcatraz. You're literally like in some shitty like local prison.
You're in jail.
Yeah.
I also just can't believe how little time everyone keeps getting for murder back in the day.
Well, this is just 4 years.
It's like they either shot you in the head or you were out in 2 years.
Well, it depends on whether or not you did it in the name of war.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is for burglaries. You know, 4 years in prison for burglaries. A dozen burglaries. That's
fine.
That's a sentence. That's a legitimate sentence.
Yeah.
He got released in 1959, and within a year of being released, he had murdered his mother.
Yeah.
He had migrated from Virginia to Michigan to join his sister Opal, but his mother kept calling and calling,
calling and calling. And he's like, Mama, I'm sick of you keeping tabs on me. All right? I'm a free man, Mama. I don't live with you no more.
So she literally was just calling a bunch?
She was calling him to say, like, come home, take care of me, take care of me. Come on, come on.
I'll always rue the day my mom learned to text. Because now I get, like, 4D guilted.
Man, that was so much better for me. I could always text a no to my mom much easier than I could say it out loud.
See, I love saying no out loud.
Well, so Henry Lee Lucas's mother came for Christmas, immediately disapproved of Henry Lee Lucas's fiance, a woman named Stella.
Yeah, Stella, because if you look at Henry Lee Lucas, he looks like, this might be insulting to the man, but he's got John Kerry vibes, and also—
Who's John Kerry?
You remember?
The politician.
Swift Boat?
Oh, that John Kerry.
He looks like if John Kerry fucked a hollowed out jack-o'-lantern and they had a baby.
But he's so tiny, too.
Who?
Henry Lee Lucas?
Yeah, and John Kerry's very large.
But I'm just saying, if you look at their faces, he's got Lincoln face.
Their faces do actually look very similar, except, you know, Henry Lee Lucas has the droopy eye, the same droopy eye that Ed Gein had.
I feel like your insults are compliments.
Holy fucking shit, I forgot that he died in 2001.
Yeah. Right before 9/11, fucker got to miss it.
Damn, and he would have loved it. Oh, that makes me so sad. He would have loved 9/11.
So Henry Lee Lucas's mother, while visiting Henry and demanding that he return with her, like, she stayed throughout the holidays. She stayed around until January 11th. That's when she struck Lucas over the head with a broom. He struck back and then stabbed her in the neck with a knife.
Yeah, got mommy real bad, and that was number one. And then he says, I guess, after that, that kind of changed his whole brain, where he just decided then kill anything that would be a quote-unquote problem to him, or then he got a bit of a taste for it.
But can you take anything he said seriously?
No.
No, absolutely not.
But, yeah, because everything he said after the fact is all just kind of gross. But he did. Hey, he loved his child bride more than a lot of people love their child brides.
He did, but let's wait. We're not quite to the child bride just yet.
Thank you.
He was found, arrested, sentenced to 40 years in prison at Jackson State Penitentiary, unsuccessfully tried suicide many, many times.
He did.
Yeah.
He was very emotional.
Yes, he was a very emotional human being. Was transferred to a state hospital, underwent electric shock therapy, behavior therapy, and was on a lot of doses of antidepressants. But after just 10 years in prison, they released the man who murdered his mother due to prison overcrowding. And I got a feeling there's, like, guys who should have gotten out before him.
Yeah. Like someone who stole a car. Those guys.
Dude, they've been arrested for, like, having a joint.
Bank fraud.
No, but, like, they probably were like, describe your mother. He's like, imagine a Wolverine if it raised you. They're like, you're free, sir.
They probably let him out because, as we know, he's fucking good with cops.
Well, he buddied up later on. It's a weird relationship that he had with cops later on. We'll talk about it because he becomes childlike. I think in a way what you see is his lack of intelligence.
Well, I think what you also see with Henry Lee Lucas, and it's interesting considering the direction that he went with his confessions at one point is that what he reminds me of is the sorts of confessions that you got from children during the Satanic Panic.
That's what I mean. They're all, yep, I die that one too.
And we'll get to that here in a bit. After another stint in prison, he, of course, got out and immediately tried abducting a 15-year-old at gunpoint. He was in prison, and that's where he met Otis Toole.
Yeah, his John Lennon. Because that's the thing. If I were to make them Beatles, I would say that he is Paul McCartney. Henry Lucas is the Paul McCartney.
Sure.
Otis Toole is the John Lennon. Mm-hmm. And the child bride is Ringo.
Yeah, and the sheriff is George Harrison.
Do you know much about Otis Toole? Have you seen pictures of this man?
I mean, I watched the whole documentary today.
Yeah.
Fucking fucked up, horrible-looking lackey from Florida.
You pretty much got it. He's got lazy eyes, a huge cock.
Yeah.
Gay as all hell.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he kept like looking at him like they fucking kiss all the time. Which is fine.
Eddie?
Which is totally, we probably should have done more of it.
Guess what you did?
What?
You just found out something. Because they did fucking kiss.
A lot.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Now you know. Now you know what Otis Toole looks like, and you know what Henry Lee Lucas looks like. Now imagine them fucking each other. God. Hardcore, dude. And that's because they ain't Red Shoe Diaries, man.
No, Shoe Diaries.
Just would be like, how about you uncurl your front tail? You know, like, and stuff like that. And be like, I don't know, Henry. I don't know if I'm ready to go yet.
Well, it's, I don't know if they mentioned it in the documentary, but it's suspected that Otis Toole was the one who murdered John Walsh's son.
Really?
Otis Toole, quote unquote, created John Walsh, but then that turned into another, that's also a weird story. I don't know if it's real or not.
It's a very strange story, but yeah, you know, John Walsh, America's Most Wanted.
They found his head. I was down in Florida when all this shit was going down.
You were?
You found the head?
No, yeah, I was there. I was like, whoa, look at his fucking head.
Whoa, cool.
The kid, like, six?
Seven? Whoa.
Man, talk about it. Like, out of everyone, John Walsh really capitalized on their child's murder.
Yeah.
More than anyone.
Hey, Eric Clapton, buddy.
Eric Clapton is already famous.
But that gave him his fourth act.
Yeah, that was a great song. Beers in Heaven.
Yeah, I love it. Man, that was... I'm going to rewrite it for when my dad dies to Beers in Heaven, and I'm going to sing that same exact song.
Would you pay my tab if I saw you in heaven? Would you buy a round if I saw you in heaven?
If I saw you in heaven.
So Otis Toole and Henry Lee Lucas, like, say whatever you want about them, but I do truly believe that these men were in love with each other.
They were special. They matched each other's freak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they claimed later on that between the late 70s and early 80s that they went on a killing spree in which they murdered basically anybody who would get in the car with them or anybody that they could kidnap or anybody that just happened to be in the general vicinity, basically saying, like, it started with 100, then it went to 200, then it went to 400, then it went to 600.
Well, if anybody's ever seen Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, it's kind of exactly like that. It's a wandering state of constant murder, rape, and mayhem. And
is that about Henry Lee Lucas?
It is loosely based. It's loosely based on the idea of a serial killer like that, an opportunity killer, not somebody that is. So Henry Lee Lucas, if all of what he said was real, you'd be considered a, like, because, you know, we have process and product killers, and you have people that plan and stalk. BTK was someone who put a lot of time and energy into picking who he would kill. And, like, a lot of people do that. Or Jeffrey Dahmer, like, they kind of figure out, like, a subset and how to get the people they kill. Henry Lucas and Otis Toole, if they are to be believed, killed everyone within sight.
Yeah.
Anybody that they could get their hands on. And there was no way that they'd ever have time for a date, which is honestly why they didn't last. It's just like, you know, couples go through so much that we're so busy in the day-to-day life that we don't just sit and just think, be like, hey, like, I love killing these hitchhikers with you.
I just don't believe they would have a car that would run that well.
And that's the thing, is that they said that they would crisscross the country, and that's why they never got caught, because they were so transient. By the time a body was found in Colorado, they were already in Washington State, you know, and that they could, you know, cover, you know, thousands of miles in like a matter of days.
Because we run on love. This hitchhiking murdering car chooses love.
It was during this time that Lucas lived with Tool and with Tool's mother and Tool's niece, preteen Becky Powell, the aforementioned child bride.
See, because I feel like he went with Becky. So, like, Henry Lou Lucas began a real quote-unquote relationship with Becky the child. And I think partially it had to do with almost in a way being like, you know, it ain't proper what Otis and I do. You know, so I think that it's time for me to really settle down.
I think he did actually say that at one point.
Yeah, you know, Otis, I love the way you plumbed me, and I love the way you dug me. But honestly, when it come down to it, I know we can't get married now, the Lord. Right, so I gotta be with this child.
Yeah, apparently Otis Tool's penis was disturbingly large.
I gotta be a lot for a man to take.
You know what? I can see it.
Yes, I can see it too. Like the kind that doesn't get hard all the way.
Yeah, dude, big and loopy.
Yeah.
Like
that
a fucking
scrubber.
You know when like a dog's got a leg that doesn't work?
Yeah.
But it's still attached.
Yeah, I know that story.
Whoa, it's like your dog's got four Otis Tool dicks. Isn't that nice?
Well, after Otis Tool's mother died, Henry Lee Lucas claims that the three of them, Otis, Henry, and Becky, the three of them started touring the country and killing anyone that they found.
Yes.
That's until they found 82-year-old Katie Rich, whose family quickly kicked them out after accusing Lucas and Betty of writing checks from Rich's account.
They were that's a weird story. I forgot about that whole section of time where he's like living with the old lady.
Yeah.
And they're all like shacking up. And let's just say again, not great tenants.
Yeah. And then they got picked up by like a Pentecostal minister who was like totally cool with Henry Lee Lucas being married to I think she was 13.
Yeah, I think she's a child. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that shit was happening back then.
It was
not a lot though. You honestly not a lot. If you look at it across the board, it's still pretty frowned upon.
Yes. Well, it depends on what part of the country you're
in. But even in Jerry Lee Lewis, remember with Jerry Lee Lewis when he went to the UK and then they all fucking like he basically got kicked out of the UK because he showed up with his child bride.
Yeah, but he was a world famous musician. We're talking about fucking Henry Lee Lucas here.
Yeah.
No one's paying attention to what Henry Lee Lucas is doing.
We are.
Now. But there's, trust me, Virginia and that entire area of the world.
I wonder what his opinion was on Meghan Markle. I wonder how he feels about JoJo Siwa.
She probably wasn't alive when he died.
But while Henry Lee Lucas was living with this minister that's totally cool with all this shit, they had an apartment. Henry Lee Lucas got a job as a roofer.
Everything was fine then.
Yeah, and it was they kind of lived at like a weird commune at this abandoned chicken ranch. But then they felt homesick for Florida, and Lucas tearfully informed the minister that Becky jumped into a passing truck and left him, and Lucas continued living on the ranch, but no one ever heard from Becky Powell ever again.
Yeah.
A month after that, the old lady that Henry Lee Lucas was living with, Katie Rich, she disappeared. And authorities were, of course, led immediately to the weird drifter that had been accused of writing checks in her name just a few months earlier.
I don't know why everybody seems to push it. Now I'm some kind of suspect in the death of my trial bride who's not here anymore. She moved on. She got a job out of state. She's working for NASA. Yeah, I love my wife, my child bride. She's doing so well. Yeah, she went off to child bride school to learn how to take it better.
I thought she was working for NASA.
I kill you.
And child bride school is just school.
And so on June 10th, 1983, Lucas was arrested for unlawful possession of a firearm. And while in jail, he began confessing. He wrote a letter to the sheriff. To whom it may concern, I, Henry Lee Lucas, to try to clear this matter up. I killed Kate Rich on September last year. I have tried to get help so long and no one will help. I have killed for the past 10 years and no one will believe it.
What do you say? I love your tone for the voice. To whom it may concern, I, Henry Lee Lucas, I'm just going to try to clear this matter up. I did kill Kate Rich. I'm super sorry about it.
Yeah, you sounded like an AI narrator.
Yeah.
I have killed for the past 10 years and no one will believe it.
Why do you think that he immediately confessed? I actually do. At some point, I think that life sucked.
I think confessing made him feel good. I think he felt... I don't think that Henry Lee Lucas is a serial killer in any way whatsoever.
No, I think he's a dumb, 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 mean man.
I think murdering people made him feel extraordinarily guilty.
Yeah.
I think he was extremely guilty that he had killed this old lady who had been nice to him.
Like, I love this idea.
Like,
that
it's just like that's such a. It's like, you know, the story of the rattlesnake. You pick up the rattlesnake. You know, it's like it's just he. An old lady was nice to him, and because she was nice to him, he killed her and fucked her corpse in a culvert.
I feel the guilty part. You see, I feel it's weird because like when did the guilty part start? It was like he killed her, and then I'm like, damn it, why'd you make me? Our whole dress slipped off. Why don't I kill her? Well, let me just... Well, she's still warm. Maybe it don't count as dead.
Yeah. Let me just kind of squeeze him a little bit. Squeeze him, play with him a little bit. All right. Am I feeling guilty? Henry, are we feeling guilty?
Are you talking to him or yourself?
I don't know. Let me feel around a little more. Not guilty yet. Maybe, sir, maybe. No. All right.
I'm not doing this act out with you.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not either.
You don't want to join me?
There's no one else to be.
She's dead.
I'm waiting for my improv.
Who are we going to be? The dirt on which this corpse is being violated?
You feeling guilty?
Oh, Otis, I didn't even know you were here.
But after a couple of days, like, he started feeling guilty about leaving this body behind. So he went, well, actually, I don't know if he started feeling guilty. I think he realized that someone was going to find the body eventually.
Sure. Yeah.
So he took it back to his apartment at the chicken farm and burned her body in a stove over the course of 2 days. And then, after he admitted to that crime, he said he needed to get something else off his chest and admitted to killing the child bride, Becky Powell. He said they were arguing while trying to hitch a ride because she wanted to go back to Jacksonville, but he had a warrant out for his arrest in Florida, so he couldn't go back. And they decided to sleep in an empty field off the road. After arguing that night, Becky hit Lucas on the side of the head, and he retaliated by stabbing Becky in the chest. He said she sort of just sat there for a little bit and then just dropped over, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
And
yeah.
How horrible is it with him that she wanted to go back to Jacksonville?
Yeah, she's choosing
1983 Jacksonville.
But or it's kiss Henry Lee Lucas again.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Do I drive to Jacksonville or do I look over at John Kerry sitting there in his Black Hole Sun filter? Just going like, I remember.
Lucas cut Becky into small pieces and stuffed her remains into pillowcases, except her legs, and Lucas returned 2 weeks later to bury her remains. Once again, Henry Lucas was charged with murder, and at his arraignment, Lucas asked the judge, what are we going to do about these other 100 women I killed?
And he's just like, stupid, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course,
so it starts with this.
It really was like the smartest thing he ever did his whole life.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
I mean, that's what we said about Gary Ridgway so many years ago, is that, like, yeah, Gary Ridgway's really bad at IQ tests, but you know what he's really good at? Killing sex workers.
Well, it just turns out, though, it's, unfortunately, it's how you do it. And it's the method by which you do it. And it's, he just, when you're doing things spur of the moment, it's extremely difficult to catch the guys. Yeah. When they're doing shit spur of the moment. When they're planning, you can begin to build an MO. You can begin to build how they look at victims. You can figure kind of how to catch them in sometimes. Because you're like, oh, they're in this area. They're triangulating around this. Like, you can kind of do it. Like, when Gary Ridgway, he was murdering people just like in the real fashion. This is actually a very interesting take on this. Because technically, Gary Ridgway is the real Henry Lee Lucas. Mm. Like, so he did it. He was like a product killer. Like, essentially, well, no, Gary Ridgway was full process killer. Yeah. So
you like to strangle him to death.
You only cared about was strangling sex workers his whole life and detailing cars. And
apparently he was like the best detailer in all of Seattle.
Yes. And so he would just, but it was the wide area that he did it with. And then the very simple way that he did it. And then I guess it's like, how you stay hidden.
It's weird. It was his simplicity. It was actually
and
his...
also you, sex workers, because they just didn't properly
investigate. And it was all pre-DNA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, with Gary Ridgway, that is somewhat the irony of it, is that it was his stupidity and his simplicity that kept him from getting caught.
Yeah.
Where people who go a little bit more complicated with it leave a much larger trail behind.
Yeah, it's why Patrick tries to cover it up.
Yeah, I honestly think, like Patrick Swayze, he wasn't that bright, but he's an incredible performer.
See, like the empty vessel.
Yes.
That you fill with water. Very similar.
Gary Ridgway, Patrick Swayze. Extremely similar.
What we learned from Swayze is you can't dance your way out of cancer.
Jesus Christ. It's the saddest thing that's been said on the show. There's a lot of people. Honestly, I want to say that there is a thing called dance against cancer. I want to say that there's a whole thing that's saying, like, oh, dance. But it's like, it's more that the dance is a celebration of people. People give them money, but the dancing itself is not going to cure the cancer.
It's actually called I'm a Dancer Against Cancer.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
So he had dancer, not cancer.
Yeah.
On Blitzen and Cupid. Comet.
We're just going to have to. We're going to take a deeper look at all this whole edit. We're going to have to pop the hood open on this episode and really decide what we're keeping.
And so.
You're welcome, Sirius.
You asked for this. Contractually obligated. So the Texas Rangers, they're basically the ones that we can blame for all of this bullshit.
He sort of became a pet project for them.
Yeah. Well, so the Texas Rangers are not, they're...
Ooh, don't, fuck, please, Marcus. Please, for the love of God. I cannot deal with the ire of the Texas Marshals or these guys.
The Texas Rangers.
I just want to be able to go through Texas. I want to be able to drive through Texas.
I mean, they are definitely complicit.
Yeah, I know.
They're very complicit. And remember how we talked about, remember the Bonnie and Clyde story?
Yes.
And how much the Texas Rangers were complicit in that?
Yes.
And I think it was maybe the Ma Barker, it wasn't Ma Barker. But yeah, they were definitely complicit in, like, the Bonnie and Clyde story. They famously a very corrupt institution.
They're not crushing it.
Yeah.
They're not crushing it. That's my review.
I mean, I'm sure they
Two stars.
But they built a task force led by former Texas Rangers Williamson County Sheriff Jim Boutwell and retired Texas Ranger Bob Prince, and they started actively investigating up and down the I-35 interstate between Austin and Dallas. And so what they started doing is they started asking Henry Lee Lucas, hey, what about this murder? Did you commit this murder? And Henry go,
yep.
Yep. Sure did.
Yeah.
And then the Texas Rangers would go, check. All right.
Yeah. And what about this murder? And he'd go, yep. And then he'd go, check mark. Yeah. And they brought in another murder. And now this is also, I really feel like a lot of it happened with the minister too.
Well, the minister was a big part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this woman named...
That's kind of really what got him in that, like, kind of manic confession mode. Because this lady came... Because I actually see this entirely different. That's what the 9 years does. Is that, like, I see what you're saying. Was that he actually is a dim-witted... He is mean-spirited. But in his weird way, he's a people pleaser.
He is.
Yeah.
He actually had this thing where he felt guilty.
He has a criminal psychosis.
Yes. He can't control his impulses.
Yeah.
He is the epitome of antisocial personality disorder.
Yes. He should be locked in a, what they eventually did is lock him in a fucking box until he dies.
Yes. Cause he's bad at everything. He's bad at life.
He could have been a good waiter.
Oh, you know, honestly, I've met a lot of sketchy waiters, but I still love them. I love each one of them.
I don't know, man. You got to remember a lot when you're a waiter. That's why I couldn't be I always got fired from waiter jobs because I couldn't remember anything.
Yeah, well, he used to remember all the weird little details.
He was making it up.
Yeah, and he was also, but that's
he was repeating back what other people told him.
Exactly.
And isn't that what
a waiter is?
Yeah, repeating back the things. Yeah.
No, a waiter, they're the consigliere of the entire experience. They're coming in here, they're greeting, creating an atmosphere, welcoming. You feel like, oh, I'm invited to a party, and I'm cool for being here. And that's the person throwing the party, right? That's the waiter. He's throwing the party. And he's coming in here, and he's trying to make me feel cool for being there, right? Setting the scene, exploring, celebrating food, celebrating Epicurean interests.
That's right. And what was the use of that?
Well, let me get back to my original point. So... So he got, when he met the chaplain, I think that he...
It's a woman named Clemmy, by the way. Jailhouse
the
minister.
Nun, the, yeah, nun, the nun. Nun. When he met
the
this
dead
nun...
dead man walking lady.
Yes, essentially. He felt, I think that, you know, this is a full backseat psychologist. He thought about the pastor that he fucked up and he fucked up his whole life with and stuff. Now he met this religious person that is treating him with respect and kindness that he has never had before. And now he's willing to do whatever that woman tells him to do.
She's treating him like a baby.
Yes.
She's cutting up his food. That's She's all cutting he, his hair.
He's
like,
never had a mom. And so she, in police interrogations, they specifically will key into stuff like that to fuck with you, to get you to sort of respond. Like, they know, like, if you, like, there was one I just watched recently where there was a big fat idiot that they were interrogating. Hey. And the first thing, but the first thing they asked him was like, "Do you want any cupcakes? You know, somebody just made a bunch of cupcakes." And so this guy came in, they brought him a bunch of cupcakes at the top, and he's eating, like, this guy, he'd killed his family. And he's, like, eating the cupcakes, and he's just being like, well, I forgot what he said. I think he said, like, "Daddy likes them." Like, I forget what he said, where he was like, "Haw, haw." And they're all sitting there watching, like, "Oh, you like that, huh? Oh, yeah." And then they slowly butter you up to get you to talk. This lady, maybe she wanted to fuck Henry Lee Lucas?
I think she was-
Clemmy wanted to get that dug out?
She was into him for sure. She had to be.
I mean, I think
to spend that much time with him.
I think she got off on it. I think she got off on the conversion. I mean, on like, let's turn this guy around. Like, this is a horrible killer. Like, it's like getting a win.
We
like,
got one.
We got one. We got a big win, a big conversion here.
It's like making friends with a tiger.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you make friends with a tiger, then don't you feel very powerful?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, an arrangement was coordinated between Henry Lee Lucas, this nun named Clemmy, Texas Ranger Jim Boutwell, and Texas Ranger Bob Prince, so Lucas could cooperate and continue to talk. And Henry was, like, genuinely happy at jail. This was the happiest he ever was. This was the best time of his life.
Yeah.
He walked around without handcuffs on, chummy with the staff, gets three squares, three squares and a cot. You know, and he's happy as fuck.
Oh, yeah, because he had a struggle just to get that before. And then also they're giving him special treatment, too. He's getting hamburgers and milkshakes and
lots of cigarettes.
Lots of
fucking cigarettes. Like, riding in the front seat of the car. That made me so crazy. Walking around with no fucking... He's like walking around with a cup of coffee and a cigarette.
Yeah.
And no handcuffs, like, joking around with people.
It's because he was
losing my mind.
It's because he was doing the police's jobs for them.
Yeah, because all of a sudden, once word got out that there was a guy that claimed that he had murdered over
600 people or whatever.
At this point, he's still at 100. At this point, he's saying, "I'd murdered 100 people and I'd killed people in every corner of this country. Name a corner of this country and I killed someone there." But especially like Texas, Southwest, like basically the South, from Florida to Texas. And so all these detectives who had all these cold cases started coming in and asking Henry Lee Lucas about these crimes. And what they would do is they would show him photos, they would show him crime scenes, they'd give him little things, and he'd repeat shit back to them, little by little. You know, like he would pull the information out of them without them really even knowing that he was doing it. Because every time he got a gold star, every time he got like, "Hey, yay, you got a murder charge."
They literally said he was a good guy.
Yeah. They loved him. They loved him.
Yeah, they'd shake his hand, they'd pat him on his back. Thank you so much. You know, because these people, these cold cases, like, they haunt these fucking people. They haunt these cops.
Of course, and the families.
Yeah, because
and a lot of pressure is coming from the families to do something about the crime.
Because these aren't like big city crimes. This isn't Dallas. This isn't Houston. Like, this is
Zone June or whatever.
This is fucking Colorado City, Texas.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is because my dad, I told this on the Henry Lee Lucas episode, is that my dad ended up in a restaurant with Henry Lee Lucas on one of these jaunts.
Oh, really?
When I was a kid, we lived in a town called Colorado City. There's just this small fucking town, and it was what, because they would take Henry Lee Lucas out to like certain sites, and Dad said that he was just sitting there having lunch one day, and in walks Henry Lee Lucas and a couple of cops.
He's like, hi.
And they just sit down, and of course nothing came of it, but it's these small towns of just like a few hundred people, a few thousand people, where murder really means something.
Yeah.
Where like murder fucks up an entire community, and these cops go crazy trying to solve it, and so so they go to Henry Lee Lucas, and he absolves them.
Yes.
He absolves them. These cops can go back to their hometown. They can talk to the family. They can say, hey, it was this Henry Lee Lucas guy. You know, we got him. We finally got him. Your daughter can rest now. And Henry Lee Lucas, what did he get out of it? Well, he got out of his jail cell. He'd get strawberry milkshakes. He'd get cigarettes. He'd get steaks.
Oh, he got private fucking planes.
Yeah, he got to get a... technically a life he never got before this.
Yeah.
Or he ever would have gotten.
He
was treated like a legitimate celebrity.
I think people also discount like how good it feels to, let's just say, he's not had a lot of positive validation.
No.
Right? And so now he's getting celebrated. So he's like feeling like maybe I can give back. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is my way of making everybody smile, you know? Meanwhile, like, he's just a haunted, evil child man.
The craziest thing, I didn't know this, this is why we do the update show, is that they wanted so many different samples from him, like saliva, fingerprints, hair. They asked for so much of his pubic hair that he ran out. And they had to wait for more to grow back.
Just test it.
I'm going to need a little bit more. Well, unfortunately, I'd like to give you more, but as you can see, I'm a bit of a Suzanne Summers downstairs. Shave to the nards.
Well, originally he talked.
You guys need any more cum?
I was thinking about
making some cum. If you guys need some cum,
Honestly, just because I was already doing it, I don't know if you need any spit or shit either, because that's all going to kind of be in one cup then.
Yeah. Well, by February 1984, the task force had tied Henry Lee Lucas to 47 cases. And by May of the same year, that number rose to 107 and grew by another 49 by August of 1984. So this guy is being not charged with, but about over 150 murders. They're saying like, yep, solved.
Done.
That was Henry Lee.
Yep. So what's up with these Rangers? Like, they have to be in on this. They have to know they're doing the wrong thing.
The power of self-deception can be very strong.
Well, also think about the optics of, we've caught this super predator. So not only, like, it's not that they're covering up the, I think they're, who knows about covering up crimes or whatever, but I think it's more like the more they attach to him too, not only do they get these murders off the board, but also it bolsters up all these guys hanging out with this fucking crazy serial killer that they all caught, right? So, like, the more they build up his roster of death and his standing, it raises their standing, too. It also raises Henry Lee Lucas's standing, because then he gets to portray himself as this evil mastermind serial killer, and that protects him in jail. Like, of later on down the fact, and it gives him power within jail. That's jail political power.
I know, but it's all, like, it's just drives me crazy because he's so tiny.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have won all these fights, even if they were all just women.
That's what Otis Toole was there for, because Otis Toole was, what, like 6'5"?
Yeah, Otis Toole was a big, a fucking horrible, and he did, God knows what else Otis Toole did.
Oh, he's the real fucking criminal.
But Henry Lee Lucas. Henry Lee Lucas killed three people for certain, and I actually do think it is more than the three people, but it is not hundreds of people.
I don't think it is. I think he killed because the people that you look at, like, it's
everything else
for,
had a reason that he killed. They all had like a distinct reason why he did it.
Except for the old lady. The old lady didn't really have a reason.
She probably asked him for rent.
Yeah, something like
probably
that.
Probably at some point just being like, I might have to call the police, or like, this is getting, you're weird.
Because the other two murders was like a woman hit him and he responded by stabbing her.
Well, that's also his story.
Yeah, that's it. But that is his story. That is true. But I think another big thing about this with the Rangers is that it confirms a certain worldview that I think some of these people really enjoy subscribing to. I mean, I know this from growing up in Texas. Mm-hmm. That Texas is like, it's an evil place.
Yeah,
like, it is. There's a reason why
it's the Russia of America.
I still like Texas.
And I'm not saying that...
I love Texas.
I'm not saying that Texans are evil. I'm saying Texas is an evil place.
Hey.
Because over the years, like, I would ask myself, like, why don't we cover more stories about Texas? Why don't we cover more Texas true crime? And the answer is that Texas true crime is fucking brutal and pointless. And,
yeah, a lot of it's pretty fucking rough. Yeah,
yeah. It's harsh. It's brutal. It's like, it is a fucking, it is a cruel place, you know, yeah. And it always has been. You know, there's that famous quote, is that like, if I owned Texas, I'd rent out Texas and live in hell. Because Texas is fucking, it can be, it's a very, very harsh place. Mm-hmm. And I think people who, and I know people who live there, some people really enjoy that reputation.
Oh, of course.
Like,
oh,
they, yeah. They enjoy that reputation, and they like this idea that the world is a far worse place than it really is.
It's because there's a reason why they exist, and they're the line between chaos and order.
Exactly. They like the world to be a more evil place than it really is because it makes them bigger men.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's this idea that you've got, it's, you're way necessary. Yeah. You're very strong, and you're very big.
And of course, that became much larger when Henry Lee Lucas started talking about the Hand of Death.
Now, Hand of Death is, we're just going to just straight up right here. It is absolutely the stupidest fucking conspiracy theory on the face of the planet. I'm saying it right now. I'm sorry, Dave McGowan. I know you're sad. It's the dumbest
shit. Dave McGowan's
shit.
Dead.
Wherever he is, like, there are people out there that act
Little
as
McGowan.
Him. Yeah. I think that it's all very stupid, except I do believe more and more that there are other internet-connected people. But the idea that the CIA trained Henry Lee Lucas, I just feel like we trained Osama bin Laden.
Yes, that's
okay?
Who we trained.
Yeah, please, yeah. Like, come on.
Well, the hand
All right,
of-
you think the kind of money that we put behind the CIA, we're going to get a Henry Lee Lucas? Come on, guys.
Well, the Hand of Death was supposedly a cult that practiced human sacrifice. It's an outcropping of the Satanic Panic.
But they worked alongside the CIA to provide children in order for them to get their proper testing subjects for the beginnings of MKUltra.
Sure, except it happened way after MKUltra.
But it's because MKUltra never ended.
And also, I feel like the CIA isn't going to get rid of a perfectly good sex worker.
What do you mean?
Well, they'd say they'd take a live girl. I mean, it's one of those things where I think this is around the time of the Satanic Panic, and I think Clemmy the Nun was starting to be influenced by that sort of shit.
Sure.
And I think that Henry Lee Lucas started ping-ponging ideas, and it got weirder and weirder and worse because I think Clemmy was starting to look for reasons behind all this because I don't think she could – even though none of it was real, I don't think she could wrap her head around the concept of a man killing hundreds of women just because.
Well, the only thing that it could possibly be is being in league with Satan.
Well,
and then the idea that you're this monster, you're literal – monster.
Yeah.
And
it's also the idea of, you know, this, all the Satanic Panic shit was going on where everyone's talking about, you know, human sacrifices and there's all these devil worshiping cults all over the country. But the rational minded people kept asking, it's like, okay, where are the bodies?
Where's all the stuff? Where's the evidence?
Where's the bodies? Where are the evidence? And then now you have Henry Lee Lucas and Otis Toole also joining in on this going, hi!
Me too.
It was us.
Whatever Henry says, yeah.
Yeah, we know all about it.
Yeah, they were just excited to talk. And I do think the idea that it's just very it's also in her mind, you could see being like, if I flip this evil Satanist, I'm the world's best nun.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll let me be a priest.
Yeah.
First, then I can have a hand at the little boy.
Yeah,
then
I get to suck the child.
The penis.
But you know, Henry Lee Lucas. Over the years, like, you know, there's been so many murders that have been
attributed to him.
But then there's also been a lot of murders that he said I did that have since proved to be committed by other men.
Yeah,
through
20.
DNA testing.
It's only 20 was the number at the end of the documentary.
It's insane.
That's out of, 200 or something.
Yeah,
they were trying to pin on him.
Yeah. But he got convicted for 11. So he ended up going down for 11. They put a couple on him, but it's still it was not
the Scotty hundreds. Scott one is the most aggravating one of all of them.
Yes,
the troopers kid who killed the store clerk,
mm-hmm.
and then they were like, "Ah, will you do this for us? Will you take the rap on this?" And he just said, "Yes."
Now, of course, because he's like, "The cops are his buddies."
And they let
he
the said fucking straight up kid out.
He has a comment where he's like, "The sheriff has been the nicest man to me. He makes sure he takes care of me." And apparently, he looked
he's
up to
my
the sheriff.
Friend.
He said he was like, "He was my friend. He's not a police officer." And then he also said that he was kind of like his daddy.
Yeah, and then the sheriff admitted to liking him.
Yeah. And the thing is that...
How are they not held accountable for this?
It's because...
It's such a huge fuck-up.
Yeah. I mean, but what law are they breaking? That's the problem. It's like,
but
what
they got to keep being Texas Rangers.
They're retired now.
Yeah, dude. They fucking... That's what allowed them to retire,
mm-hmm.
was that big get.
But they did it for like another, 10 years after that?
They did it for a while, yeah.
Unfortunately, Eddie, life's not fair.
I know! I have no parents!
Life is very difficult, Eddie. I hate to break your heart.
Oh. Yeah, and that was actually, there was even one of the most famous murders in Lubbock, you know, where I went to college. That was supposedly a Henry Lee Lucas murder, but I actually found out, like, there was a whole thing with that murder where they exhumed the body like a year ago, and like the sister of the woman who was murdered, she became involved with this like true crime podcast, and they ended up having a falling out.
Whoa,
it was like
weird.
A massive New York Times Magazine article about it that I didn't have time to get into.
Ooh, we should look at that. That's very interesting.
Yeah, it's some weird shit. Yeah, the murder of Deborah Sue Agnew Williamson.
And then there's this story. Where was it? The orange socks. Was trying to the identified orange socks was the Jane Doe that was also attached to Henry Lee Lucas.
Well, they found out who it was eventually.
Yeah, yeah, Deborah Jackson from Harris County.
Yeah, well, orange socks was supposedly the one that people pointed to as like, no, look, he's not lying, because
he confessed to the murder.
Yeah, and then he like knew a couple of details,
and he said that I always left the socks on them when I, you know, as my calling card.
Yeah,
which is not true. He didn't have a calling card.
No, because he killed people with 2x4s and ball pens,
whatever he had around.
Yeah.
And so Henry Lucas then apparently then in private said he didn't kill her.
Yeah.
Which is, and then his stories in Jacksonville to check out because they went to go investigate and they found out that he was nowhere near. Yeah, he was nowhere near where the murder would happen.
Yeah, and they also have on tape the fucking dudes coercing him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But the weirdest thing about Henry Lee Lucas, and this is one of the ones that, you know, people point to, like the satanic panic people.
Sure.
Like, and of course the ones that fold that into like government shit.
Yeah.
Is that he was the only person out of all the people that were killed when George W. Bush was governor of Texas, he was the only one whose death sentence was commuted.
Yes.
Yeah.
George W. Bush commuted his death sentence saying that the evidence for the Orange Sox murders was not compelling enough. Like, he let Carla Faye Tucker fry.
Yeah. It is weird. That is why we're like, but I think it's not, and it's because of the friends he made in the Texas Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you have to look that far for the conspiracy. I don't think it's like they got some, it's not a satanic conspiracy. It's just straight up boys club, Will Boys Club.
George Bush was the GM of the Texas Rangers baseball team.
Yep.
That is true. That is true. And I'll never forget my buddy Wes said that he saw during the Carla Faye Tucker trial, like when she was being executed, he swears to this day that he saw a news reporter say Carla Tay Fucker.
Oh, wow. Yeah, really
live
sad.
Live on TV.
God damn.
Really, really sad. And that's how we're going to end today.
That's how we're going to end today. Yeah, thank you really so much for listening to the last update on the
Don't
left. Go check out all our shows.
If I saw
Brighter Side, give it a listen in the Last Podcast Network.
Uh-huh. Patreon.com/thelastpodcastontheleft is where you can find video episodes of this show and all Last Podcast on the Left shows.
I tell me, son, do they go buck hunter in heaven?
What
do
was
they
that?
Buck hunter? They've got Buck Hunter.
Buck Hunter.
Buck Hunter. Buck Hunter. Thank you, Marcus.
Yeah, but
Buck Hunter.
Would you?
And Evan? Hey, son.
You know, this is like the true, between Tool and him, it's like, it is where Texas meets Florida.
It really is.
It is.
Yeah. It really, really is. And which one's worse?
I mean, you know, there's more space in Texas.
Mm.
You know.
That is true.
But they both got gators.
They both have gators, but only one has, honestly, I mean, you know.
You know what I'll say, though?
One's got universal.
Florida, they got a sense of humor.
They do.
They do.
Texas, not big on a sense of humor.
Yeah. Texas is getting universal.
What?
That's a different podcast.
Texas is getting Universal?
Yeah, Dallas is getting Universal Studios.
No. I mean, Six Flags, say what you will about Texas. Six Flags over Texas is a fantastic.
Except for one of those flags, I got to take a shit.
Yeah.
Thank you for enjoying The Last Update on the Left. You can find other shows that you'll enjoy from The Last Podcast Network on lastpodcastontheleft.com. See you there.